All right, we got a big episode to get into today because we got a good old disagreement going here. But before we get to that, Caitlin, there's something we got to get out of the way real quick.
All right.
So Peacock added a lot more old Datelines. I'm watching these and they've got a lot of updates at the end saying like in 2017, this happened or in 2019, this happened. And I get to one called Vendetta. Okay.
Here's Andrea Canning with Vendetta.
And I start to hear similar things like sugary snacks.
Sugary snacks.
And Kim.
Kim's kick-ass list.
And segues.
He strangely swept in on his segue.
It f***ing turns out that our very first episode, covering the season 31 episode Bad Intentions, itself, it was a redo. The things that we get so upset at, and we didn't even realize it. Caitlin, what are your thoughts?
Does that make us look bad?
Maybe. It might, but I honestly think we owe it to the Holt heads out there to own it. Because I feel like we talk like we know our stuff. But I feel like Dateline, you're always going to be a step ahead. And we're just going to enjoy it from the sidelines. I feel pretty dumb. I don't know. What about you? Do you feel dumb? I feel dumb.
I guess I feel dumb. It's hard to keep track of every single episode that's ever aired.
Yeah, for a show that's been on the air for 32 years.
But there's something about Dateline. Maybe I'm just so excited every week that I want it to be new in my heart.
Yeah, maybe. I feel like there are people look at Dateline like it's a news program installment. Like it's a segment in a news program, almost.
Fools.
Maybe that's why to them, they don't exist as episodes to them.
Fools.
I don't know. Tools. Fools or tools? Either way.
Both.
Both, baby. Okay.
I'm Lester Holt.
Howdy, hold heads. I'm Kurt Money, and alongside me is my co-host,
Caitlin.
We are here to discuss the full-on Dennis Murphy-hosted episode of Dateline entitled Family Matters. IMDb description, Family Matters airing January 19th, 2024. New details on the latest twist in the murder-for-hire plot involving a prominent Florida family that left Florida State University law professor Dan Markell dead and a grandmother arrested. A decent description, but there is so much more. Caitlin, why don't you go ahead and tell us what you thought of this app?
That's what I think about it. This episode, I think, only had about 30 minutes worth of content. The whole second half of this episode is just testimony.
But it's gold testimony, and it's three different trials.
Is it?
Yeah!
That's not a Dateline, man. That's something else.
I believe it is. This took place over 10 years. Two trials for the same person with different outcomes. Now they're cooking up a fourth with Donna. But what's funny is, like, I'm trying to look at it from your perspective of, well, it was all just an episode about testimony. But you were fired up about 20 minutes into this episode. Am I wrong? I mean, you were mad at this ep, act one, I feel.
Yeah, once I realized that they figured out who did it very quickly, and then the rest of the episode was just going to be nonsense.
Okay, all right, well then, I say we hop into it. I'm going to change your minds, and I feel like I'm not going to dwell on that, because I think you're going to turn. I think that you're going to go, wow, maybe, because I'm going to tell you some very cool stuff about this.
Let's do it.
Okay, all right, so it begins in 2014 in Florida. So of course, this is a Murph Dog case. We got old Murph Dog, and he's doing some real Murph Dog shit. How'd Murph Dog treat you this episode? Well, obviously not good.
He was fine, though. He was fine. This was Tallahassee, so it's a very different breed of Florida.
Okay. Why? What goes on in Tallahassee? Is that...
I think it's less weird. I've been there.
Okay, less
it's
weird.
It's a lovely little town.
All right.
You know, it's a college town. There's a lot going on.
It is a college town. Florida State University is there, and that's where Professor Dan Markell teaches with his ex-wife, or soon-to-be ex-wife, Wendy Abelson. Now, Mark... One day, and I forget what day it was in 2014, but he goes to the gym and he comes home. And as soon as he opens this door, he's shot. I mean, this Dan Markell is shot in his car, in his garage, point blank by somebody, right? Mm-hmm. And like, it's in the middle of the day, so like neighbors see and call the cops.
Yep.
Now, this 911 call was nothing here, but I gotta tell you, okay, look, I texted you this. This is not a bomb, but I read that book. They're talking about a book in this episode called Extreme Punishment. And I read it / listened to it. It was 23 hours long and it did not cover the Charlie trial. So I was a little bummed by the end of it, but it gave me some interesting, one being that 911 call that we hear blips of was a classic 911 call where the person on the other end is like taking their sweet time and not listening to what they're saying. In the book, it's described as he's frantically going, "He's trying to say something to me. Will you please send an ambulance?"
Wow.
And it took like 15 minutes.
You said he's sitting in the car, right? Correct. In the driver's seat. The car is running. Where exactly is he in the driver's seat? The dispatcher asked. Do you know? In the driver's seat, Jim reiterated.
That 911 caller also saw the getaway car.
And boy, good on him, because that was the ticket that really opened this baby
up. Yeah, I mean, once they found the car, they knew who did it, and case closed.
Wrong. So wrong. So wrong. Yeah, so wrong.
It was just, like, so easy.
What? No, it wasn't at all. They had to track down footage from all the buses that went on that route and watch it and then piece together the getaway. I mean, so look.
Yes, but they also had footage from different and in Florida, and then they plate on, and then they realized it was, and then they went to the company, and the dudes who did it in their own names. Case closed.
Well, I hope you're comfy, because you just described 20 minutes of cool things that just happened. Okay, what you just blew over, there was so much cool investigating that just happened.
That would be cool if that led to more and more things for them to uncover. But instead, it was like, that was the entire thing. This should have been a shorty.
Disagree. Okay, so that car thing, the guy says he thinks it was a silver Tesla.
No.
Right? Or Prius. He thinks it's a silver Prius. What they can see when they look at the security cam from the gym, they can see what looks like a silver Prius follow Dan out and follow him out of the parking lot. So they're like, sounds like our eyewitness was dead on.
Silver. I want to say it was a Prius.
So they're looking at the security footage. They can tell from the car it's between a 2006 and 2009 Prius. So they have that info. And then they see a little thing on the window dash for like when you go through an express lane.
An easy pass.
So now they've got that. And that's when they can narrow it down to license plates and stuff, is because that's when they find out that it's a rental car. What I wish I could go back in time and not present this as we have to go Dukes up to say whether this episode sucks or not. Because I feel like your vibe is, you're not happy right now. Was that a mistake on my part?
I'm not happy with how it ended up. I liked the first couple minutes, and then when I realized they had nothing in the tank.
Okay, all right. Sorry, we're all over the map. I got to give a shout out to Murph Dog for the open of this episode, because it starts off with like nice music and it's talking about grandparents going on a vacation at the airport. I mean, that's a great way to kick this off. Didn't that thrill
you? The airport sting was pretty good.
Now, that's what bookends this app. So we've got the beginning where we're going, wait, who's this evil grandparents? Wait, they're trying to steal her phone? What's going on? The episode ends with the answer to that, which I think is the most glorious answer that could be to that scenario.
Yeah, I just...
That scenario pays off exactly as you want it to.
I just wish it happened about 40 minutes sooner.
Well, I'm sure in the next one that they do on this, when Donna goes to trial, that they'll talk about it a little sooner. So maybe they'll get it right on that one, because they're definitely doing this one again. Especially the way they talked about it on Talking Dateline. J-Mank was all about it.
The word that came to me again and again while I was watching this was velocity. There is not a slow moment in this.
Murph Dog was pumped about how this was like a 10-year investigation.
This story changes by the minute, Josh. The shoes just keep dropping.
And they were also talking about how... Okay, wait. Sorry. I can't get distracted. You're right. We go from...
They find the guys who rented the car.
Right.
Now they need to find out who hired them.
Well, yeah. So they get these guys who are in the car, and they love pointing this out too, is they got a great visual of them. They track the route from the gym to Dan's house, and they get a bunch of cameras from various bus routes and piece it together. And so now they can see this Prius making its way through town, which is something that I feel like they do a lot more on British crime shows, because of CCTV. It's like, you know, it's smaller over there.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound right?
Yeah.
But they were able to do it here, and we could see the Prius. We could see there's two guys in it. And not only that, they go to an ATM, and one of them goes, "Hello, take my money. Here's my face." And then the Joker, I forget if it's T2 or Tato, leans forward from the passenger seat and looks right at the camera. Those f***ing dopes, huh? I mean, he really is leaning forward. Like, you got my whole shot?
Dumbs.
Oh. It's the date of the homicide, and you can see Luis Rivera driving, and he sits forward, and you can clearly see Sigfredo Garcia sitting in the passenger seat.
And it takes a picture suitable for framing of these two guys who have just arrived back in the Miami area after killing Danny Markell.
Classic dummies. So they've got these guys, and oh, they're not talking. for about 10 minutes, and then one of them flips, as they do.
Sure.
So one of them flips on the other, and we learn this was all set up by Katie, which is Two Toes' baby mama.
Mm-hmm.
And Katie hired them to do this, from what they say, on behalf of a guy, but they don't know it's Charlie, but they just know that it's someone because the lady wants her kids.
Yes. They want to kill this guy because he's in a custody battle with his wife, and they're on the side of the wife. They want her to get the kids, so they want to take this guy out.
So not only is Katie the baby mama to one of the killers, Katie is also the current or ex-girlfriend to Charlie Adelson, who just so happens to be the brother-in-law of Dan Markell, our target.
Mm-hmm.
These people are tied together. So Katie is the one who has the most shit on her. I mean, she shouldn't be the first one tried, but she is. And she's the first one tried and also tried twice back-to-back because the first one's a hung jury. I mean, did you have any thoughts on that first trial?
No. I mean, you know my classic line. Like, was there any evidence? Really, she didn't do it, so I can see how they would be a hung jury, but it's also unclear if she was even the mastermind at all or just the go-between.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is that what they do have is Katie getting a lot of money from the Adelsons, and she does not work for the Adelsons.
Right.
And so, like, and she got a boob job that they paid for. And now,
well, she said on the stand that she paid for that boob job with the money she got in tips from her job.
Bullshit. Because when she's being questioned on the stand, I'll just say it now, all-star Georgia Kappelman, the prosecutor, okay, says, wait, so that text that you said, can I put this boob job on the credit card? That's not for the boob job. That's what she says.
You caught.
Let's talk about these Adelsons. I mean, they're real kooks. They're the stars of the show here, and we're waiting too long to get into them.
They're intense. They're a relatively wealthy family. The matriarch, well, their dad, he is a very successful dentist in Florida. And Charlie, the son, is kind of a fuck up, but ends up working for his dad's dentistry eventually.
Yeah.
After taking kind of a circuitous route of being like a deadbeat.
Yeah, privileged wanderer.
Yes. And then they just sort of give him a career.
Yeah.
Wendy, the daughter, is legit. I mean, she's a professor. She's very smart.
A lawyer as well.
A lawyer too, yep.
Right? They're both lawyers. So before they even get on the Prius tip, they've got a great classic Dateline red herring of John Lacoste or whatever, the boyfriend of Wendy. But this guy, he seemed okay in the episode. And he was even on the stand and stuff. They have his interrogation, or when he came in to talk to the police, he's like, I'm surprised you guys didn't find me sooner.
Right.
I'm surprised you guys didn't call me earlier, though, because I probably said 100 times in public that I like to kick his ass.
Now, in the book, one, they go to him, and he's shocked at all of this going down. He can't believe it, and his position is, well, Wendy couldn't have had anything to do with it. So they talk to him. A few days pass. That guy comes back to the precinct and says, get me in that room again. He's all fired up. He's pissed off at Wendy. He's naming all these things that make it, like, he's, like, convinced that Wendy had this done. So he couldn't wait to be involved. And I can't press that enough that he was one of those guys that kept popping up going like, hey, it could be this. Hey, it could be this. Hey, it could be this.
He just wanted to help. But sometimes that is suspicious behavior.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Police had to wonder if he might have turned his anger into action.
And Murph Dog thought that he looked like Dan Markell, the murder victim. I could kind of see it.
Yeah, I think Wendy had a type.
Yeah, so much so that he's also a teacher at FSU.
A Floridian Jewish teacher. That's her type.
Yep, that's her type. Okay, so they talked to him, but he was being weird because he was, as the episode said, he was being jealous. I have a detail of that. It was because I know the picture. She posted a certain picture with her two kids to Facebook that really pissed him off. We saw that picture a few times in this episode. I can confirm it from the book. Do you know which picture I'm talking about?
No.
They showed this one a few times of her where her boobs looked dope. Because, like, it was obvious his problem was that she was in a dress and her boobs were, they looked like boobs.
Why would that make him mad?
Because he felt like, you know, the classic douchebag thing of, like, you're a mother, you shouldn't be putting your, like, using your kids to whatever. I mean, it's all nonsense.
Kurt.
He's kind of a stinker.
Why do men hate women?
I don't know. That's a great question. It's a great question.
And then their mom. Their mom is
Donna.
Like a classic.
Donna's a trip.
Overbearing Florida mother.
Ooh, baby. Yeah.
She runs the show.
She does, and we get a good feel of Donna in this ep from some taped phone calls. But I've got some extra little juicy deets from the book to give you. They were trying to show that Wendy was under the thumb of her mom, that Donna ran the show. Her and her brother, like, they were so coddled by their mom. Like, their mom was behind everything. So much so that they live 7 hours apart, Wendy did from her parents. The parents, Harvey and Donna, would drive 7 hours to the Markell home and then follow behind Wendy as she drove to visit them. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's pretty crazy, huh?
That's smothering is what that is.
Okay, so that's smothering. This next one's, I think we can call crazy. She also, they mentioned this email Murph Dog talks about where she is like, listen, Wendy, we got to go to the f-ing mattresses on this. We got to fight this. Now we've got to go after Dan. We're going after this guy hard right now. And one of those details, she wanted to. So Dan was pretty into his Jewish faith. His faith was a big part of his identity and his life with his parents, and he wanted it to be for his kids as well. And Donna insisted. And Donna, they're also Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
They're not as into it as the Markells were. But Donna suggests, hey, let's convert the kids to Catholicism just to piss them off. I'm not kidding.
Oh, my God.
She said that. She tried multiple times.
Donna is crazy.
Nuts.
She is the mastermind behind all of this. She would have pulled the trigger if she could have.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? What? Oh my God.
Yeah, and it wasn't like, it's not like she floated it once and Wendy was like, no, that's disgusting. Wendy was like, please, Mom, don't say that. And she kept insisting, come on, it'll piss them off. Woo.
They're Jewish.
Yes, exactly. That's why it's like, what? Ugh. All right, so Katie goes to trial. This first one's hung jury because, we got to say what kicks off all these trials. And that was The Bump.
I think it almost could be a breakaway special hour is this brilliant shakedown of Donna. It's called The Bump. Imagine a game of pool and you take the cue ball and you make the break and balls fly in all directions. That's what they wanted to do.
They're like, we just need to bump the nest. We need to get them riled up in there.
Shake the hornet's nest, Kurt.
Yes, that's good. The hornet's nest. They do so by approaching Donna Adelson on the street and they've got a piece of paper for her. And they're trying their hardest to get her to take it.
This was so crazy.
Right? I mean, yet again.
They send in, he's a Fed, right? It's the FBI.
Yeah.
And he just walks up to her on the street, hands her this piece of paper. And it's all very like coded. Just being like, we know what happened. And
we know that you took care of some of the people.
Right. It's like so vague, but enough to spook her for sure.
Yeah.
Because then we hear a phone call between Donna and Charlie right after that. And she's like, someone just approached me in the street. And he thinks that it's not real. That he's like, oh, they're just, it's a scam. It's like, no.
No, stupid Charlie.
And she's like, no, they knew things about what happened.
Yeah. And Charlie's like, no, that's crazy. It couldn't be. No, no, no. So they bumped it and the feds' plans, it worked because they started spilling. She calls Charlie right away. He's like, what? No, what? No. And he's kind of dense to get through to his head because his first thought is, was it about me? Wait, is it about me? And then when he goes to have lunch with Katie at this Dolce Vita place, which we'll know as the Dolce Vita tapes, they followed him in there and recorded his convo with Katie.
How many times in this episode did Murph Dog say Dolce Vita? How many times?
A bunch. And we saw the doors. So they've got a camera in here. And it sucks. You can't understand a word they're saying. And I think that's why the jury's hung on trial one, right? I mean, could you understand anything they were saying in there?
No, and they tried to subtitle it, but...
No.
It was also, they were talking in code.
Yeah.
It was just kind of botched.
Yeah, and I want someone who is savvy with technology or just plugged in. I feel like police or people, they need like someone. There could have been a much better place to put that camera is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what they were. I mean, you could put a camera anywhere. They had to put this on the seat where it's obscured by half the table.
Yeah, you couldn't even see Katie at all.
No, not at all. Not at all. So anyway, so they have this tape and they put up subtitles, but yeah, I'm not buying it. But afterwards, Georgia Kappelman, the prosecutor, the Florida DA, she comes out and says, we'll get them next time. And so that's what they do. They say, we're coming for you, Katie. Trial number two.
Regroup and try to do it better next time.
And this one works in their favor. And that's because Kappelman gets the bright idea, let's send this to someone who can clean up audio. Like, let's just give this to a current person in the field and see what they can do with this.
Imagine that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm shocked that they took it outside of the department and said, hey, are there any experts? So they get somebody to work on this, and now you can hear it just fine.
He just keeps pointing the finger directly at himself.
Do you think that should hold up in court in the day and age of how, like, AI can replicate a voice and stuff? I just, like, if that's going to put the nail in someone's coffin, if I was a lawyer, I'd go, you can't believe that because you took it from this recording. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do, but at some point, then every surveillance video, every video evidence ever is going to have that argument behind it now.
Yeah, and it'll be applied to stuff that shouldn't
exactly
be able to use it.
It's a slippery slope.
I feel that. I want to say that you could only use stuff the original, but there are times when it's like, well, a quick pass would clean this up. So, yeah, you're right. You're right. So they clean this up, and he's on there saying, like, what he's really doing is incriminating himself, even though he's nowhere involved yet. This dumb shit. Doesn't he run his mouth? He says stuff like, I mean, I don't know why they didn't mention me. I mean, if they knew stuff, they would have mentioned me.
It's like he wants to be arrested?
Yes! F***ing idiot! Ugh.
Well, as we said, he is kind of a f*** up, and...
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know how to put this... No shade to dentists.
Okay, continue.
But maybe I'm shading dentists?
What, that it's like once you get in there, like it's...
I just wonder...
It's not...
He's so stupid and such a f*** up and was handed his job by his parents. What is his skill level like when it comes to dentistry? And he does like the cosmetic stuff too. He does like surgeries.
Yeah. I don't know, but they like to talk about how he was like personable or whatever, and like he had a, you know, fun time Charlie. I'll tell you what he didn't have was presence on camera. We saw his little video that he did for his dentistry, right? Just stiff as a board. Just stiff as a board. I loved it. I loved it.
I love when people you think are going to be really charismatic on screen just kind of freeze up. No instincts.
Yeah, and do not deliver. Yeah.
It's great.
I kind of love it.
My name is Dr. Charlie Adelson, and I am a periodontist.
So they've got this tape. They find Katie guilty on this second trial. She's found guilty for conspiracy or like first degree murder, right? It's all on her shoulders at this point, along with the other two guys.
Right.
But now they want to come after Charlie. How do they kick this off? I forget.
Girl, I don't know.
Well, Charlie does continue to run his mouth. That's for sure. Oh, wait, real quick on that boob job. Did I already say what the name of the doctor was?
That did her boobs?
He's referred to as Dr. Boobner.
Dr. Boobner.
Murph Dog said Dr. Boobner. That's brief. I loved it.
By a guy known in South Florida circles as Dr. Boobner.
Dr. Boobner.
So Dr. Boobner helped her out. The Adelsons are helping Katie out. They're obviously entwined. So they got enough juice to charge Charlie Adelson, the brother of Wendy. Now we're at the Charlie trial, and this dumb f***, I mean...
With his greasy hair.
Greasy hair and his sad little eyes, and like, I don't know. He was a real dud.
I'm going to be very honest with you.
Yeah?
When Charlie got on the stand, that is when I completely checked out.
Really?
Because for the next 20 minutes, it was just him saying nonsense, his word against everyone else's. It was not supposed to be in the Dateline. What did we get from it?
I'll tell you what we got from it. One, it was a Hall of Fame throw to commercial from Murph Dog. Because we hear from his defense attorney, the defense attorney says, hey folks, I like cliffhangers. Murph Dog cuts in and goes, so do we. Cut to commercial.
But before we get there, I like cliffhangers.
So do we. And you won't believe the story you're about to hear from Charlie Adelson himself.
Come on, that's a good move. You gotta give Murph Dog credit for that move. No?
Sure, sure. As far as Dateline the show goes, they get a point. But the content of this show sucks.
Okay. But that's part of the content. Because the cliffhanger we find out, do you remember what the cliffhanger is? Because it's stupid. And I feel like this is maybe where you, if you're not into this story, you're like, what the f***? Because Charlie offers up a completely asinine reasoning. He says that Katie and those two thugs, that he's being extorted for this money. That's his theory. That these people who live, you know, multiple hours away from the victim, rent a car, drive there and kill them, and then drive home. He says that was them extorting him for money.
Right. Dumb.
It's pretty stupid.
It is. Did they ever even get any money?
Oh, yeah. Yes, actually they did. And I feel like in our run so far, this has got to be the most paid for a murder. Because although they didn't offer a specific number, we know that at the very least, those three players, Tuto, Tato, and Katie, they each got about 30 grand. And we know it because their dumbasses spent it with matching motorcycles that they posed together and to post on Facebook. These dopes, Caitlin. I mean, idiots.
Well, also they're dopes for accepting only 30 grand. Murder should be way more expensive than that.
But money was exchanged, and that has to do with how Katie was paid. Because also they say the prosecutor, her tone, oh, did I love it. Because she was really going after these guys.
Did she talk about getting a boat and you offered to help her get a boat?
I never offered to help her get a boat. I offered to help her look for a boat.
Do you think you can talk your way out of this?
No, I don't. I'm not part of a murder.
His whole thing is that Katie is extorting him. And yet that night that she extorted him, she stayed over. And part of the extortion is that she gets paid $3,000 a month. I don't like, and their point is, I don't know if blackmailers want to stick around and have this paper trail. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, she's on the payroll.
She's on the family payroll. This is not blackmail.
So stupid.
Okay, so she's donezo. Charlie's trial's donezo. And I gotta say, what are your thoughts on prosecutor Georgia Kaplan? What'd you think?
Well, clearly you think she's the all-star.
Yeah, so far, why? You got somebody to...
No.
...in contention?
I just don't feel like I was that moved by her performance to grant her the all-star.
Fair. I guess I'm giving her credit for getting that hung jury and being like, let's think outside the box and pay someone that's not one of our people to do something. And that she's also continuing after these I mean, Donna's next on our list.
Well,
I mean, Charlie's guilty, and outside she says stay tuned. She literally says stay tuned. That's good stuff.
I don't know the answer to that question yet, so stay tuned.
She's doing her job, though.
Yes, but I like her delivery being so, it's like timid or reserved, but she's like being sarcastic under her breath. Her delivery cracked me up so much so I Google her, right? And somebody did like a video on Reddit that made it sound like Georgia Kaplman's Netflix special. Netflix is a joke. And then it was just her and her saucy responses on trial and then with like a laugh track.
Oh, that's fun.
The idea was funny. The execution was terrible. The laugh track, I mean, that's a whole other convo. But the idea is there that she's up there just spitting venom at these guys just in little ways that is delightful to me in the audience.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair.
And you can watch the whole, when Wendy's up there, you can watch that whole thing on YouTube. Now, I'm not going to because it's very painful and very cringe.
Your family had your ex-husband killed to try to help you, didn't they?
No, that's completely untrue.
Were you involved in any way in the plot to kill your ex-husband?
Absolutely not.
But I did watch one part where Wendy is saying that Dan did not hate his mother-in-law because she baked him banana bread that he accepted. And then later in the thing, Kaplman goes, well, he loved your mom, as evidence in the banana bread.
You know, like, Wendy was interesting.
It was a good little delivery. Okay.
She did a pretty good job of sort of separating herself from her family so that it wouldn't seem like she had anything to do with this. And I'm still not sure. And according to Dateline, she's just not even speaking to them anymore.
Yeah. Wendy. I'm curious, and you just said it, you're on the fence whether or not she's involved.
I'm on the fence. I don't know. She's so close with her family, it's hard for me to believe that she wouldn't have anything to do with this. And I think it's convenient that she's now distancing herself from them.
Yeah. Okay. At the end of the episode, I was on the fence too, and I'm like, boy, she's skating away free. And then I read the book. I might be leaning towards she's not involved. That might be my opinion. And at the very least, she's done enough stuff to distance herself where she can't be prosecuted for it unless there's a bomb or one of her family members turns, which is very possible because their dumbasses love running their mouths, don't they?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Donna gets up on that stand and completely blames Wendy.
Yeah, because so both Donna and Charlie talk while Charlie's in prison, and they point out, as I have before and as the show Calls from the Inside presents, these calls are recorded. There's a sign on the phone that says it.
It literally says that when you get on the phone.
We hear it.
An incarcerated individual at the Leon County Jail. This call is not private.
I don't know why people keep doing this.
Yeah. So Charlie and Donna are talking, and Donna's feeling the heat, and she's trying to talk in code too, which it's not working. But she's hinting to Charlie, like, we're about to bounce. We're going to go to a place that doesn't have extradition. Mm-hmm. But she's saying that we've got to get a hold of Wendy because of these codes we got to give her.
I have a face here. I want to give her codes. We're going to be gone. I want her to have all this information.
Now, here's the hilarious part that I don't understand. Charlie hangs up, but the call doesn't disconnect. Donna stays connected on the telephone talking to Harvey. So there's about 15 minutes or something of her talking to herself or to Harvey that's recorded. And J-Mank's like, they're going to fight getting that admitted because that's like a personal conversation. But it was public when the prisoner was on the phone. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know if they'll be able to use that. But what Donna says is she basically describes a text exchange with Wendy where Wendy is like,
I wrote this last night. We know you never ask anything about your brother, but we just got off the phone with him. And the first thing he asked was, how's Wendy holding up? I didn't have the heart to tell him that you never called us or asked about him. I just said, we weren't up to phone calls right now. Everyone looks to protect you. I bet you've got a lot to think about.
Because Donna is sitting there bitching about how Wendy hasn't said anything and how poor Charlie is in jail asking about Wendy and she doesn't give two shits about him. How about that?
Yeah, and I'm sure Donna is furious that Wendy has also taken the kids away from the rest of the family. I'm sure that's enough fuel alone to get her to turn on her.
Yeah, and I suppose that might be my biggest problem with Wendy if she is not involved with this murder, is that if she's not involved, then why did she change not just the last names of these kids, okay? So she changed the kid's name to Adelson from Markel, and she said it was for their safety.
Right.
And as old Pops Markel points out, that doesn't make any sense.
No. It should be a completely different name.
If you're going to change their names and hide them from the public, you'd name them Smith or Jones or certainly not Adelson. In my opinion, she just wanted to eliminate the Markel family from their lives.
Yeah, like you're giving them one of two notorious names.
Right.
So already that doesn't work. But the book told me she changed their middle names, too. And they were named after Dan's relatives. She changed the middle names.
Yo, she's in on it.
It's looking like it. And I wonder if, because she's a lawyer, she's just playing this game and she's not going to lose it. If that's the case, I mean, it sucks.
Well, her parents raised her in their own image. You're right. The fruit don't you're fall far.
Right. Hey, speaking of that, did you ever watch Apples Never Fall?
No.
No.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, she's bound to slip up. And actually, here's a little thing from the book. They moved to Florida because Dan got a job at FSU. There was another place that turned him down because part of his contract was that there'd have to be a job for Wendy, too. And I guess the word was Wendy kept making mistakes that people had to clean up.
Mm.
And that he was not hired because of Wendy.
Well, also, I've never heard of that, where there's a demand that if you hire me, you also have to hire my wife. That's psychotic and a huge deterrent. No one would agree to that.
Okay, unless your name's Charles Bronson and you're married to Jill Ireland, and he would say, I'm only doing it if Jill Ireland is in it. And then they would sigh and go, okay. And that's why she's in so many of his movies. That's just a fun little tidbit.
That's not real.
Charles Bronson is real?
Yeah, but that's Hollywood.
Okay, fair point. Fair point. But look, I'm not going to pass up an opportunity to talk about Charles Bronson.
Fair.
So thank you for that.
You believe in Jesus? Sucker. Well, you're going to meet him.
So she might suck at her job. I don't know. But also, we don't know if that's the sexism of early 2000s faculty at a Florida law school as well. I don't know. Right? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess I'm...
I, just knowing how that family is, with Charlie being a f*** up and...
Yeah. You see it.
Both Charlie and Wendy being mommy and daddy's special children can do no wrong. I feel like maybe she was coddled to the point where she just thought she was way better than she was. And then actually in the real world, wasn't that good.
Yeah, it could be possible. That part of me, like the tone of the book between the guy reading it and the author, the way that they talked about the female prosecutor, sometimes my eye was turned. Like, I feel like you're treating this person different. But anyway.
Kurt.
That's a side note. Yeah, what's up? What's up?
Why do men hate women?
Another great question that remains unanswered.
We didn't talk about the airport.
Oh my God, you're right. So Donna on these calls is talking like her and Harv are about to hit it. They are about to bounce.
They got their bags packed.
Yeah.
They got their money shoved in their pockets and they are getting on a plane to go where they cannot be extradited.
Yeah. And they're going to Vietnam, and J-Mink says, like, I don't think they were going to have the life they thought they were going to have there.
No.
Right?
No.
I don't know, like, what you think you're going to do there? I don't know. But
it's a weird country to pick. Of all the countries that don't have extradition,
that don't have,
why Vietnam?
Yeah, kids, can't you go to, like,
Switzerland?
Ooh, that's good.
And they are wealthy.
Maybe. Supposedly. I mean, they talk like they are because they've got to get these family codes to Wendy.
Oh, yeah.
Because if they're going to go on the run, they've got to give the locks to the codes to all the stuff to the family fortune, I guess.
But maybe they are Florida rich and not actually rich.
Okay.
So Switzerland would be too expensive for them. Maybe they want to go to a country where their money goes further and they can ball out.
Yeah. Switzerland sounds like a great place to ball out.
It's so expensive.
I'd ball out.
It's the most expensive country in the world.
Oh, for real?
It is.
Have you been there?
Yes.
Cool. And Secret Adventures of Kateline all over. That's cool. You were there on some FBI thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Naturally. Well, you know, Geneva is where all the government agencies around the world meet.
So you had to be nearby there. Okay. They get the feeling that Donna is going to leave as soon as she can. They get word that she bought plane tickets. They're on their way. So, like, I don't know, is it SWAT team, FBI? Somebody in uniforms and guns go charging down this airport.
As Donna and Harvey made their way toward the plane, Tallahassee FBI agent Pat Sanford, leading a team of officers, pounced.
They catch these two at the door, not the gate. They walk down that f***ing tunnel to the plane. They're about to step in that plane, I feel like. They're close. Like, they're about to get on that plane.
Oh, well.
You don't think it would take it off?
No. I think it would have, they may have gotten on that plane, but it would have been like 20 more minutes before it left.
Yeah.
Still, I love that there's body cam footage of her in cuffs at the gate, and she's like, what is this about?
This is ridiculous. What is this? And they've got to tear her phone out of her hand. That's my favorite part. That's my favorite part.
Give me that.
Yes. And she's like, it's like, what are you going to do, text Charlie or somebody? Wendy's not going to respond.
In Donna's hand and grabs for it because he has a search warrant.
Yeah.
Donna yanks it away from him as if she's got control and power.
So they f***ing arrest Donna, and this baby's to be continued. I mean, there's a Donna trial around the corner, and we're going to be here for it. I'm going to be there with a foam finger and a t-shirt that says, like, Kappelman! And you're going to be like, snooze fest, get me out of here. But we're
going to
do
it. Here's a question, though. Why isn't Harvey under arrest and going to trial also? It's his money.
Even if that's true, he's not running his mouth on recordings like Donna and Charlie. I think that's why.
Sure.
That's why
But his money paid for this. So right there, he's got some like racketeering charges or something.
Maybe. And you know what? Maybe they'll use that to inspire Wendy to do something stupid by getting their dad in legal trouble. Like maybe that'll be because their main target now is, well, Donna, but that seems in the bag. They got their eyes on Wendy, I feel. They want Harv, sure, but they want Wendy before, I think.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I am so glad our moms aren't like that, Kurt.
Yeah. Oh, boy. She's a pill. And, you know, they teased it in the beginning. It wasn't in the cold open. It was in the very beginning when Murph Dog is like, how do we get from this to this? They show her in court and being scolded by the judge. You remember that? The judge is like, Mrs. Adelson, can you please? And she's like, sorry. I wanted more of that. That was the good stuff.
Miss Adelson, please keep your comments to yourself.
Before we go on to our list, I got to bring up two more quick things. One, Charlie had a personalized license plate, Gateline.
Oh, no.
Do you remember what it said? Because it's very timely. I mean, it's timely for about 6 months ago, I suppose. But do you remember what it said?
Was it something about dentistry?
No. His license plate said Maestro.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is exactly what Leonard Bernstein's plate. He had a personalized plate that said Maestro.
But also it's like, yeah, Charlie, you orchestrated this whole thing.
You're right. And you know what? I wonder if that was presented to him in that cross-examination, because that's a great point, is that's not for being a dentist, so what's it for? I mean, what are you orchestrating other than a murder very poorly?
Objection.
Yeah. Oh my God, he's so, played an extra bit on Talking Dateline where he was like, I'll never go out to dinner. I'll never sit on the beach.
Go to dinner again, go on a date again. There's a very good chance the only way I'm leaving prison is in a bomb. Very, 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 very good chance.
All this stuff. It was pretty funny to laugh at.
That phone call between Charlie and Donna when he's in prison and she's like, I'm so sorry. This is crazy. I don't know how this could happen. They're talking to him like he's innocent and that this is insane that he could be in prison for this. But when you really listen to it, they're just saying it's insane that this happened and that you're in prison for this murder that we orchestrated.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't believe it's reality either. We just can't believe it either.
And what?
That this is what happened. That there's no out of this. I can't believe this.
Yeah, and you can feel their pauses when they're saying this because they're like... Because
they're talking in code.
They're trying to, and Charlie's not getting it because he's dumb and also because he's the one in prison. So he's like, what, Mom? What? And then she'll start saying it, and then he'll be like, Mom, stop, Mom, stop, Mom, stop. Just like the circle of pity between these two, right? So, oh my God! Actually, this is part of my list. I say we go to the list. Can we go to the list? Is it list time?
Yeah.
Kate, I'm hit me with your list!
Kate's unnamed list. All right. This is Tallahassee, Florida. Also, Miami. It's Florida.
Hell yeah. Count it.
That's the only thing on my list.
I've got a little extra. You can throw military on there because the red herring, Jeff Lacoste. Military man. What do you think?
All right. I'll count it.
Okay. So you got two. Two's pretty good, though.
Yeah. Not bad.
That's a boom. All right. On to Kirk's Kick-Ass List.
Kick-Ass List. Kick-Ass List.
Boy, was my list popping off today. Okay? No signs of a struggle.
No.
But we had a mention of a movie or a TV show in two ways. So we got the two. I love whenever specific shows are mentioned. I just like to hear what people are watching. And they had a clip from Wheel of Fortune because old Donna won on there. And talk about, okay, this, I feel what you're saying about this episode, it's just about this trial is true, but there's little details that make it memorable to me. For instance, the fact that they played a clip from Wheel of Fortune where you get Donna's personality across the board because she doesn't say she's a stay-at-home mom, Caitlin.
No, she does not.
She calls herself...
A domestic coordinator.
Yes, a domestic coordinator. And Sajak even says, oh, really? Like, and she doubles down on it and says, yes.
Donna Adelson, Coral Springs, Florida. I want to hear all about you, Donna. Let's go.
Well, I'm a domestic coordinator.
A domestic coordinator.
Yes. Okay. I'm responsible for the activities, classes, and lessons of my son, Robert, who is 16, Charlie, who is 12, Wendy, who is 10, my husband, Harvey, who's in the audience.
Yeah.
She's a housewife.
Yeah.
I've never heard domestic coordinator used before. I did look it up to see if that was like a commonly used phrase.
Uh-huh.
I think it might be. It was just new to me.
Oh, yeah. And she said it with the confidence that she dared Mr. Sajak to challenge.
And this was a very long time ago. So maybe she was kind of one of the 80s, early yeah. adopters of that.
Not only that, so she names all of her kids. And then this wasn't in the Wheel of Fortune episode, but Dateline showed us a photo of them from that time. Brilliant. I say those are mad points for the production of this episode that they got that photo because I wanted to know what Wendy looked like at that age.
Mm-hmm.
And they delivered. So that's a boom right there. That's good stuff.
Boom.
So that's kind of on my list. Now, this one, this is the big one. And it gets said countless times. And that's that Dateline gets mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Old Charlie is 1,000% a Dateline watcher. Okay?
Doesn't he say Dateline like four times?
He does. In the episode, he does.
Charlie said the trial played out like a particular TV show. You know the one.
It was like sitting in the courtroom and watching Dateline. Like, it deviated from being a trial to being a Dateline.
So they realized they were losing. They had to turn it into Dateline. Nobody watches Dateline without coming away with their own, thinking they figured it out.
Guess what? I know how many times he said it on all of the tapes together, because in talking Dateline, Murph Dog offers up that there were 4 days of conversation that, like, production assistants had to listen to for stuff. And in those 4 days of tapes, Charlie says Dateline 30 times. 30.
What an idiot.
Yeah. And J-Mate goes, boy, it sounds like he's a fan. Maybe we should send him a hat or something.
Charlie mentioned Dateline 30 times over 4 days of calls. He's a regular viewer. We should send him a hat.
J-Mate's hilarious.
He is. I texted you this morning in all caps that we got to be besties with J-Mate. And I feel it every time I listen to Talking Dateline, because he gets that what we're in it for is stuff that's not in the episode. And I feel like sometimes the other person he'll be talking to will just be presenting info from the episode, I think. And that's kind of how Murph Dog does it. I mean, I'm not dissing Murph Dog. I thought this was a great app and I love him for it. Okay, maybe he's my favorite Dateline correspondent ever now. I don't know. What's up?
Kurt, I have to say,
yeah.
I appreciate all the work that you've done to try to convince me that this episode rules. I still think this episode could be killer if it was 40 minutes.
Yeah, I'm willing to concede I did not change your mind. And I think that was a mistake, me stating that I was going to.
Well,
it didn't work.
You have every time except for this one.
Yeah, but the point is, there were fun things in this that make it a Dateline and I still love it. I get your point, though. In the way that you're talking about it, I could see it being a snooze fest.
Agree to disagree, but good job, Murph.
Yeah. I mean, there are Reddit threads about that whole case. There's the mom wrote a book, too. Like, there's a whole world about this Dan Markell case that I was not familiar with. But anyway, we've already eaten enough today about us not knowing things about Dateline. So we don't need to dwell on that little
fact. Let's just end it there.
So on that note, I'm Kurt Money.
I'm Caitline.
I'm Lester Holt. For all of us, I'm Lester Holt. Good night.
Balls fly in all directions.